Time for Raptors play-by-play voice on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Eric Smith. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, guys.
So is there a legitimate beef here? I mean, just let's start with DeMar alone, okay? That he is DeMar DeRozan. He is an MVP candidate, and those guys deserve, and he should have been a foul, but those guys deserve calls like that at the end of a game.
I 100% agree with that, and there's, I mean, let's be clear before everything else. There were calls missed on both sides the entire afternoon. I think it was a poorly officiated game for the most part, but even in spite of the officiating, and again, missed calls on both sides, it was one hell of a game. It was highly entertaining, back and forth all day, down to the final 10, 15 seconds of the game. And that's where we this is like the age-old argument we get into all the time, right, guys, where it's the final 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, 60 seconds, whatever it is that more important than the call that's missed in the third quarter, the call that's made that was wrong in the second quarter, all of these moments in the game that build towards what ultimately comes down in the stretch. But there's no denying that DeMar DeRozan on his home floor, for all the reasons you just said, Elliot, as an MVP candidate on his home floor with an 11-game winning streak, the top team in the conference, et cetera, he was fouled. And it wasn't even like it was close. He was absolutely, 19,800 people saw it. I think everybody on the Oklahoma City bench saw it right in front of them on that basket. And the official 5-7 feet away somehow didn't see it, let alone the other two officials that didn't see it. And then that would have tied the game. You go back down the other end of the floor, free throws. Suddenly, Oklahoma City's up 4. DeRozan's whistled for the technical, ejected from the game. Free throws, Ibaka gone, Casey gone. Boom! All of a sudden, it's a 5-6-7 point game, and that's it. And you look up at the score and go, "Oh, Oklahoma City won the game by 7." No, they were winning by 2, and the game could have or maybe would have been tied with DeRozan at the free throw line and 2 free throws. So they have a legit beef, but they also have to recognize that they got torched by Russell Westbrook all day, and they got torched by Steven Adams all day, too. So that's a massive factor in this game and the outcome as well.
Eric Smith, our guest, 736. Yeah, I was looking. I think players get calls or not calls. I never view it as franchises. I don't know if you do, but I go, listen, if the league really wanted or referees really wanted to manipulate results, the Knicks wouldn't have been as bad as long as they've been bad, and neither would the Sixers, and the Lakers haven't won a playoff series since Kobe and Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum was an all-star. So it's not like the Lakers are getting a lot of calls in the last 6-7 years, but I do think star players more often than not get the benefit of the doubt, and I'd see DeMar's point that's a call that a star player, a perennial all-star, should and would get usually. I would say that, yeah.
Especially when to me, and again, I suppose to give the officials some slack, in the heat of the moment, in the moment of the game, did it look like minimal contact? I mean, you watch the replay, it certainly doesn't look like minimal contact to me. I'm baffled that they missed that call and that it wasn't blown, the whistle wasn't blown. But human error, I suppose, factors into this. And Greg, I will agree with you. I don't believe that organizations are pegged overall. I mean, hypothetically speaking, if that was DeLon Wright or Norm Powell or OG Anunoby, is that call being made or not made because it's one of those guys and not DeMar DeRozan? I don't believe that there is a grand conspiracy against the Toronto Raptors. I think if we're right now in Oklahoma City and doing a morning talk show and the roles were reversed and Toronto escaped that game, they're going to talk about how Paul George didn't go to the free throw line in the fourth quarter, how Paul George had 5 fouls and was almost out of the game on his sixth as well, or Kyle Lowry given 3 free throws when he probably wasn't even in the act of shooting. There's a bunch of moments in the game where Oklahoma City fans, you probably do this talk show in every city in the league after especially a close game, and they're going to say, the ref screwed us, the ref wrote to get us. But I think that speaks to a bigger problem or a bigger issue that, right, wrong, or otherwise, officiating seems to have been a conversation this year more than ever before. And I think it then speaks to perhaps an issue that the league needs to address in terms of, do they have the best officials available? Because I will say, and the average Joe fan, and I don't mean this to sound arrogant by any means, but the average Joe fan might not realize how much the officials have changed over the last few years in the NBA and gone are a number. I mean,
yeah, a lot of vets, a lot of turnover.
Veteran officials.
Yeah,
exactly. And you've got a lot of young officials right now that just don't have, I'm not saying that they don't know the game, that they don't know how to call the game, that they don't know the rules, but do they have the savvy, the experience, and then the personal skills? Because officiating in any league at any level also involves some personal skills and thick skin that needs to be developed over time that I think a lot of the young officials don't necessarily have.
Yeah, you made a good point down low, not a good game for the Raptors yesterday because generally Valanciunas and Poeltl and the other guys are taking care of business there, and there aren't a whole lot of teams that are going to beat you in a playoff series in that area. You mentioned about the officiating yesterday, and I was thinking, don't give them a chance. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about DeRozan. I'm talking about Lowry and him fouling out, and I know he wasn't happy with the sixth foul, but you gave them that opportunity. You need to stay in that game, backing up like you did, and give them an opportunity to make that call after you got your fifth foul a couple of seconds before. You needed to be a little smarter.
Absolutely, and that wasn't a great play for Lowry. That he needs to be... I mean, you need to play under a little bit more control over the course of the game period, so you're bang on Elliott, but that sixth foul was not a good one, and you've got to be smarter in those situations. And then when we look at it, you know, kind of as a take a step back and look at the entirety of the game and everything that we've discussed at this point about the officiating and you know, whether we're right or whether we're wrong about the call against DeRozan or multiple other calls and the way that the outcome ultimately came for the Raptors with the loss and with all these ejections. This is what it's going to be like in the playoffs. There's going to be days, especially on the road, where you're in a hostile environment, where the crowd's on top of you and the noise is going crazy, and the opposition, maybe one or two guys, they're going up, but you're punch for punch, and you're handling all of the distraction, all the BS that's going on around you, and the officials maybe aren't blowing their whistle, and the frustration, is building. You've got to find a way to suppress that and play through that. And you can't be barking back at the refs. You can't be allowing the officials to get in, you know, to get into you or to get under your skin. You can't allow the other team to be getting after you or the crowd to be affecting you. That's where you got to put the blinders on and play through that stuff, because it's gonna be like this more often than not. And, I mean, think about last year. I think the Raptors did respond after Milwaukee jumps out to that 2-1 lead. They went three straight and they win that series in a hostile environment and dealing with, you know, with the Bucks and everything else. But that's where you've got to prove that, as good as you've been this year, the top in the conference and everything else, probably finishing the season as the number one seed, you're going to have to prove in the playoffs that when it really gets into crunch time and these situations arise, that you've got the composure to be able to handle it and get through it.
Totally. Yeah, and you'd rather be worried about a game that could have gone either way in the last, you know, 60, 70 seconds than be Boston going to New Orleans and getting thrashed. And I wanted, as we wrap, to ask about the Celtics. They're 8-8 in the last 16. They are reeling. They can't score. Four of the last five games, they've scored under 100 points. Do you look, Eric, and say, it's just the Cavs I have to sweat? And I don't sweat the Cavs because of who they've been through 69 games. It's just that they have LeBron James, and it's just that for 2 weeks he might elevate to such a level. This might be LeBron's best work ever if he gets Cleveland to the NBA Finals. Better even than getting there in 07, because I don't think the conference was as strong. You know, you had an old Pistons team. Yeah. The Celtics weren't there yet with Garnett. They kind of coasted when LeBron was in his third, fourth year to the NBA Finals. Do you just look, Eric, and say it's LeBron I'm worried about and no one else?
Hey, Greg, you're like, it's like you were a fly on the wall of the conversation I just had with a neighbor last night when I came home from the game, and he caught me on the street, and, oh, the 11-game streak is over, et cetera. I said, yeah, but, and then we start talking about things. And I've said, listen, I think I've been on with you guys enough over the course of the season. I never believed the Celtics were as good as they were, even when they were winning 16 straight games. And I know it sounded ridiculous, and I give them a ton of credit for the year that they've had without Gordon Hayward, you know, going out on opening night, and Kyrie Irving carrying that team with a lot of young youth, and they've come together. They're good, but they're not great yet.
Yeah, they're a year away. Give everybody else. Give Tatum another year, Brown another year. They'll be amazing maybe 2 years from now, but they're not ready yet.
And think about the rise of Philadelphia as well. Mm-hmm. Those, to me, the Sixers and Celtics are the two teams to watch next year, the next 2-3 years, and it's up to Cleveland, if LeBron stays, Toronto, to keep up with those young, talented teams. But I don't think I'm scared by Boston in the 7-game series if I'm the Toronto Raptors. It might go to 7. They might beat you. But I'm not walking in worried about that series. I feel like I can beat that team just as much as I can beat anybody else. but you'd be a fool if you're thinking that you're going to bet against LeBron James. And honestly, I'd say against almost anybody right now. It, to me, until you beat the guy, and okay, Golden State's proven that they've been able to do it, you know, two of the last 3 years. But in the Eastern Conference, until you've proven that you can beat the guy, then I think you can't be talking much. You got to prove that you can knock off the best of the best. And you mentioned Cleveland and 07. I just think of a guy like LeBron James, even younger in his career, taking a team and a starting five with Boobie Gibson and Ira Noble to the NBA Finals. Now, did they lose? Yes. But if you can take that crew, young in your career, to the NBA Finals, then I think absolutely, with a healthy Kevin Love back in the lineup, with a healthy Tristan Thompson back in the lineup, with some youth and injection of Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance and Rodney Hood and the rest,
yeah,
I think absolutely this team can find a gear and take this, you know, take it to another level come playoff time. And that's why, not that the Raptors can really control this, I want to make sure, if I'm a Raptor fan, if I'm the Toronto Raptors, I'm going to keep checking those standings and hope and pray that Cleveland finishes as the 3 seed and not the 4 seed. Because I'd rather be dealing with LeBron James in the conference finals, assuming I make it that far, than having to get him in round 2 again. Because that's where your massive bubble could burst and he could pop your balloon in round 2 if you're not ready for him.